our bodies ourselves, only this time it's not women's bodies, it's everybody's data. And about, well, in some way at least, taking it back again. So, we all know we produce a constant stream documenting our daily, day-to-day lives, squirted up to our social networks of choice, and particularly insidiously with mobile devices, we leave a trail of metadata wherever we go. So up it goes, and that's about the direction it travels in. It does come back to us in a little trickle as served ads. That's what it appears to be there for. Not going to pass any judgments on that, but maybe, just maybe, we can do something useful with it. So, make it into an asset, a community asset. And yes, I didn't get to the Emojily talk in time to receive its wisdom. We actually wrote an app. And just an example that you make things of, what is this data going to be good for? Is this going to have some sort of social good? Well, we found ourselves at the Arts and Humanities Research Council Connected Communities Bash in Cardiff, and a research group in the from the west of England came round and said, well, we're sort of seeking to see how engaged senior citizens are in their communities, especially very, very sort of sparsely populated rural ones. Where do you get the data from? How do you know if whatever interventions you've done are doing any good? Well, if only we had their mobile data, that would do it. So that they wanted, they said, oh, we'd quite like what you've already built. So we've teamed up with some youth coders from Young Rewired State as co-researchers, and we intend to produce, a marketplace of what my cultural studies colleagues insist on calling big social data. I will have to move slightly. I'm going to leave what the analysis of my, of our Young Rewired State partners to my cultural studies colleagues. But I think one particular statement is very very telling from a rather articulate young girl who joined us in on one of our hack days. Privacy is attached to other people. So if someone you agreed to connect with is open, then you can be accessed through them, because it's kind of a herd thing. You've all got to do it, otherwise one person is in trouble. So mostly the kids are all right. On the other hand, being of kind of this generation, being tech savvy, we have some control because we know how to have control. They're teenagers, and unfortunately they still think they're immortal. Anyway, we built an app. I did, at least. So, called the Mobile Miner. What it does, it records data that, well, it's as far as possible, it's about tracking other apps and not the user. Of course, there's a bit of an intersection in that Venn diagram, but that's we try not to be too invasive. So we try and record data that we know that other apps and services are already harvesting. We also record app behavior, particularly, I'll talk about this very shortly, how frequently certain apps open and close network sockets, and we make the data available to the user. I think one telling example of how our data isn't really ours, well, what you can do, you can pull out your smartphone, pull out the SD card, mount it on your computer, and you can access the data, your data, on your terms and not the smartphones. No, you can't, because, well, at least not with any Google Nexus device since the first one, which was meant to be given to hackers, because they don't have SD card slots. I wonder why. Unless you root your device, you mount the device, there's no SD card slot, you have to access the data on the device's terms. So press a button, our app will extrude its internal SQLite database into somewhere where the user can mount the, can mount an SD card or not and get at it. And we've seen our young coders doing that and getting their SQLite files, which you can play with in Python standard library, and they're merrily plotting histograms of when apps have been pestering them with notifications and starting to look at their own data. And this is the slightly ironic bit. Periodically, the app phones home and uploads suitably non-creepy anonymized data to our server, CCAN, or at least built on CCAN, which claims it's basically Drupal for data. However, we gave them a phone with the app installed on it. There's the keeper and treasure, and you can't really see it, but there is a start and stop button. So not only do you have the choice to install the app or not, you can press a stop button and you can go, right, I'm not going to play anymore. So in some senses, yeah, we're sort of out NSAing the NSA. On the other hand, honest gov, it's there to do some sort of social good. So what does it do? If you look at your Droid app, I mean your Droid settings, you can see that you get aggregated network traffic data. So since I last reset the counter, how much data has Facebook eaten? Wasn't my idea, actually. This was sort of doing it the sort of easy way and reading the instructions came from one of our young coders. So instead of what we do is just fairly easy, well, I managed it, get an Android service up and running and just poll network traffic data for individual apps every half a second. And if you see a constant sort of monotonic increase in the amount of data, that's one chunk and you log it. Slightly more deviously, Android is just about still a Linux system, lurking on top of a Linux kernel, and every Android app is a user on that Linux system, and there's an API call. You can find out which app corresponds to which UID, and I guess a backdoor, not really a backdoor, something Google don't particularly worry about, apparently. You can ferret around in the proc slash whatever PID slash net slash TCP or UDP, as the case may be. You can look in that little virtual file, poll it every half a second, and you get a hex-encoded IP address, and more tellingly and more usefully, perhaps, a hex-encoded port. So if our app shares a group with the other apps in question, we see their network traffic, we see their sockets, so we know what protocol has been used, we know when it's been opened, we know the IP address, and perhaps more interestingly, the port. So do that every half a second. Not as reliable. We don't get every single bit of every single app playing ball with that, but I guess it gives us a little more information, or detailed information, than the standard traffic data dodge. There's a picture. You can't see it. Chrome has gone and done something at, nearly 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but it was doing on TCP port 443. It was nice HTTPS, whole lot of port 80 stuff underneath it. Interesting to give a little rundown of the apps that do play ball. Google Plus does, Skype does, most web browsers do. So other things we record, because other apps, we'll get to this, are recording it already. Network names, MAC addresses, etc. One of the slightly hackier and cheaper things I've done is that you can have your app ask the user to be an accessibility service. And instead of reading out notifications in a synthesized voice or flashing them up in large print, it's just dumping the time and the name of the app, not the details of the notification, that'd be far too creepy. It's dumping that to its internal database as well. And also GSM cells. Yeah, full GPS would have been a bridge too far. Not nice for the device's battery, and altogether far too creepy. So we'll just get the cell IDs. Now, we didn't, because of the nature of the project, we didn't want to go cap in hand to Google and say, can we use your location API? And that wouldn't allow us to differentiate data that came from wireless hotspots and data that came from just cell locations. So, very kindly, OpenCellID have a big database full of, as near as damn it, pretty much every, every cell ID in the UK. And so we don't hammer their poor API, which they've so generously given out. What we do is I've included a huge compressed dump of UK cell IDs. And we also didn't particularly want to go cap in hand to Google and yet use their Maps API either. So, it's a pity you can't see this. This is actually some of my cell data, so I'm prepared to have my mobile life admittedly somewhat invisible on this screen here. I'm the red dot. Yes, I live somewhere in Highgate. That's the GSM cell I connect to most frequently. It's got me on the wrong side of the Archway Road, so I can't be particularly well stalked by it. Apparently, I work in somewhere in central London, not especially far from Covent Garden. Sometimes I walk home through Camden and Kentish Town. That's about it. Enough to sort of get some, do some funky maybe k-means clustering and see, does my behavior differ much from some of our teenage coders? How many sort of nexuses of social activity does a teenage coder have as opposed to a middle-aged one? And we do that by, again, didn't want to use Google Maps API, so we get a Android web view, just a controlless web browser, and use the very lovely OpenLayers JavaScript library to display OpenStreetMaps. And yes, I'll admit it now, the UI and the UX, I never said I did UI or UX, is clunky. To anyone watching at home, yes, I will fix the layouts, I promise. I've had other fish to fry. The data, just an example. We've only been running this for, I guess it's 3 months now. So maybe you can see the histograms. Turns out three of our young coders downloaded and used the same game. Don't tap the white tile. That literally encapsulates what it is. You've got to not tap the white tile. You've got a sort of scrolling Mondrian picture and you have to press the tiles, only just not the white ones. And it suffers pretty much the same fate. We've got a histogram of time of day and we've normalized for each individual user. Suffers the same fate as most games apps seem to do. It covers about a 3 week period for all the players. So spikes at certain times of the day, 5 o'clock, but at breakfast, and not much anywhere else. And eventually it peters out. And of course, this is not temporal, but we could show how quickly the usage falls off when they get bored with it. Except, player B was pretty keen playing this thing around 7 o'clock in the evening, but not nearly as keen as on this title. We've got two just about uniform distributions butted together. There's not an hour of the day when this app has not phoned home. Only slightly more likely to phone home at breakfast than it is to use the net at 4 a.m. What could it be? Some massively addictive massively multiplayer online game? Minecraft? Are you building a cathedral on the sly? No. Well, the idea is you move the little red dot through the scrolling maze. That was it. It's called The Line. And the list of permissions it requires are, well, I can't read them from here either, but it wants full GPS, it wants to know when you've turned the little flashlight on, it wants to know your Wi-Fi state, it wants to access the SD card, it wants GSM cell location as well, the works. So once you've used our little tool to identify an app that's getting up to these sorts of capers, can we fight back? This is not going to be proper hard-boiled infosec stuff, because I'm not that yet. But Can we grab the app's package file, the .apk file that you get from the Play Store? Decompress it. There's in there, there's a file called androidmanifest.xml. It's literally that, a manifest, what services and permissions and events is an app concerned with, and can we have a go at decompiling and seeing what it's up to? Turns out you don't need to have a not particularly pleasant afternoon trying to get the Android SDK installed. There is a Chrome, or better still, Chromium app. You can just point it at the relevant bit of Play Store and you will get your APK file. Love a little tool called Android APK tool. One line of pointing it at the APK file, or what lurks within. Don't really need to be a Java coder, Android coder. I'm not really one of those. To see what's going on, there is an intent filter, in other words, an event filter, looking for things that are called cn.jpush. So some sort of push notification service. I wonder why that was, because I wonder why that was why the Line app was being so utterly busy on port 3000, which is weird. There's a service from some from yumeng.com, who are an app analytics service. I don't know which service wraps the other one. So yeah, we're getting intents from push notification services. So yes, the app is phoning home, and yeah, it's a notification service. It's on a weird port. That's why it's on port 3000. Dex2jar. Dalvik virtual machine isn't a Java virtual machine. It takes it's its own little thing. So you can use Dex2jar to get a jar file back again, and the JD suite of Java decompilers get the source code, and without knowing anything about proper sort of semi-native Android coding, the usual suspects. Where is the phone state listener, and where are the location listener objects? They're there. So jpush.cn has got them, umeng has got them, and there's also a class provided by Tencent.com that is making reference to latitude and longitude. So yes, to send you these notifications, it really, really needs to know exactly where you are, apparently. So yes, it really is phoning home that often and telling its masters exactly where you are. So yes, I will fix the UX. Can we look for patterns and interesting anomalies in other data, social networks, for instance? Do some funky machine learning, maybe a bit of k-means, spatially and temporally. Get some interesting insights on the behavior of users. We're going to hold a second hack day. In fact, the picture on the side at the front was a bunch of our young rewrite state coders playing nicely together, much like grown-up coders often don't. Can we confront them with their data? Or in fact, can they confront their data, and how will that change their attitudes? I leave that to my cultural studies learned colleagues. I'd love to tack on a little inbuilt demographic survey. So when we open this thing out into to more individuals, how does their behavior depend on the gender they present, their age, etc.? Gradually let the data be available to the right people, probably the academic community at first. We'll finally get onto the Play Store, and maybe I'll get a little more hard-boiled and start, when apps emerge that look ripe for the prodding, do something perhaps a little more impressive with Wireshark or the Bertprox or Droza, etc., which I misspelt, but luckily you can't see it. And you cannot see any of this text, but we are not on the Play Store yet, but if you want to play with the app, go on, give me your data. You can get to keep it too. There's a GitHub IO site. We are Kings BSD at Twitter. We have a blog. feel free to file past and have a look at the slides. Will be on SlideShare. If you Google or search for King's BSD, you'll get our SlideShare, and therefore you can get the slides. Any questions? Yep. Yeah.
With your cell tower location, you can get a rough location without asking for location permission?
You have to ask for location permission, but you're not tapping into sort of Google's service that packs. There's nothing to say. There's no way of going to Google and going, tell me where this cell tower is, because it knows and it doesn't want to tell you. It'll tell you the phone's location based on multiple cell towers and Wi-Fi networks, which is, for us, too creepy and invasive. You'd rather just go, where was the nearest cell tower? It's suitably defocused, and it's about the network. It's about the cell network, not so much about the user. And it's just a reasonable proxy for where the user is. Yep.
Is there a way to keep on using these apps by restricting the network access?
A feature request. Interestingly, when I sort of peeking into what the line was made out of, I think these things are sort of assembled on an assembly line with not too much tender loving care. There's a C++ library that the actual game canvas is on, and there's a completely separate, allegedly cross-platform app builder. And when I, and there are a lot of, in fact, three other games that look exactly, well, suspiciously like the line, that appear to have used exactly the same C++ library. And there's no, I haven't yet decompiled the C++, I don't know if I will, and there's no smoking gun to see that these are, in fact, the same apps decompiled and repackaged. But people do that, so it's pretty easy to perform surgery on these things, because even I can get at the innards. So you're quite at liberty, unless it's a sort of a paid app, to grab the line, open it up, and perform some surgery. I mean, I found myself playing this zombie shooting game for a little bit, and it plain, you know, if you've got no network access, it just goes, oh, I'm not playing. I want to, no.
But there's an actual project or a group of people that's actually doing this, like taking famous hacks or famous CD games and just...
Not as far as I know. I mean, I guess what you, one of the things called the Android Hackers Handbook, there's a sort of a pulp, well, there are two packed publishing tomes on Android pen testing. What you could do, I guess, if you really desperately wanted to play the game, would be to, level up in your sort of infosec foo and sort of hacking foo, would be to torture the app by putting it in an emulator, and it can go through some sort of proxy, and you could sort of convince it that it's on the net when it isn't really, I suppose.
What you could do is install Cyanogen, another firmware.
Cyanogen, yeah.
And the new version of that, you can disallow apps with certain, for instance, location information. So you can prevent them or give them an empty address book. If they really want your address book, Cyanogen will provide them an empty address book.
I'll repeat that, because that's a good one. I don't know if the mics picked it up, but apparently, yep, if you get the likes of CyanogenMod, you can feed an app false data and go, look, if this thing's not going to shut up and insist on having my location, we'll just send it some rubbish and it'll be fobbed off with that. That's another good point, because I don't know if there's any more data I could successfully ring out of apps, but the one thing I haven't done is assume that the phones are rooted, because you can't, because phones aren't mostly going to be rooted.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, it's a good one, but I was thinking general public, not actually the people that are really into data. Yeah, they can install, say, we can install, say, yeah, then it's okay. But like creating an app store where you can get these apps, even something as silly as Line or whatever, and just not having it accessing the network would be actually really good, because not every person on Earth can actually, you know, sit down and install CyanogenMod and read instructions, but everyone can just install another Play Store easily and just a little app from there.
Buy a nicer platform, I guess, or a less invasive one. This is the thing. I mean, even now, this is sort of my business, and I install some of these apps just to see what they do now. Instead of just blindly hitting install without reading the permissions, well, now surely after I've blindly accepted the permissions, now I'm more likely to go, oh, I probably should have read those. People are obviously willing to make this swap. They go, yeah, I'll move the little red ball in exchange for telling. And I mean, yeah, the ad service is clearly being sent your location. Now, we don't know to how fine-grained the actions it takes are based on that. It might just go, oh, right country, right language. There you go. What if they team up with somebody else? They've got that data. Don't be sort of too tinfoil hat over this. But, oh, yeah, we've got... They can be used for purposes they didn't intend it for at first. And, of course, you have got no say in what their intended purposes was in the first place. Who's going to install the app and try it out? Or who thinks it's none of our damn business? Stony silence. Oh, you have! Sorry, Lat. Ah, exactly. Yeah. There's market share and all that, but ideally we'd have wanted, and some of them actually are, we'd have wanted our teenage coders to collaborate with the writing of all the apps. So if it's iOS, that's another $100 per phone just to. For the privilege of developer license. Android, at least you can say, okay, I'm going to install this not from the App Store without rooting the phone. And if you root an iPhone, I think it messes up the user experience quite horribly, because all the DRM stuff isn't going to work anymore. So yeah, I'm afraid no iPhones yet. Unless you want to write one, go on, you know you want to. Am I evicted yet?
I was going to ask about the battery life impact.
Yeah, apparently, because if you dump to a SQLite database every time a cell location changes, and that happens quite a bit, the phone gets warm. It's got better. If you I cache events, and then every 5 minutes, squirt those down to the SQLite database, and it is less bad. If you're in a crisis, then stop recording. And I only upload to the CCAN server every 10 minutes if you're on Wi-Fi. So I'm not evil enough to eat up your data plan. I'll stalk you and. That being said, I mean, what have I really uploaded? A bunch of cell locations, fairly vague. A list of, I mean, the top app in the socket database, or the socket table rather, is massively, by a long margin, the web browsers. All you can go is, well, how much of it's port 80 and how much not. So you've used some apps. We want it to be about the apps, and not, well, it to some extent is going to be about the user, but we're mostly into stalking the apps and not the user. Trouble is sometimes we can't avoid doing both. Tumbleweed.
I guess it would be good to run a search for index and see if. dynamically reviewed by your services or someone using your service. Do you have that intent?
To do what, sorry? Eventually, getting into the sort of, I don't know if you've heard of Shibboleth, getting into the sort of UK academic authentication system is, you know, we do intend to share the data. The trouble, I mean, like I said, I didn't want to sort of pass judgments on what the apps are doing already, but it would be a little bit strange if we, air quotes, gave away all the data to, you know, to the man. So we've got to think about that. I mean, I guess if you weren't from an academic research group and you came to us and asked us nicely, can we have some data, then yeah. Obviously, we'd like it as open as possible without it doing any sort of harm. So if we were utterly sure that the sort of really open public access wouldn't sort of do that, then yes. It's written into the terms of the research grant. Whatever we build has got to stick around for at least 5 years. Was anyone stunned into silence by my lightning talk where I talked about our Twitter analytics? At least there weren't any there wasn't any matrix multiplication in this one. Okay, I think you've suffered enough. Class dismissed, you let off. Thank you.